Hello, everyone, and welcome to the American Ninja Warrior, a Hap-Up podcast. We are here to talk about the Cleveland... almost said Denver. We are here to talk about the Cleveland qualifiers, and they were some great qualifiers. You know, last episode was like, I started off with like, and this one I started off with like, yeah, this is awesome. All right.
Yes.
I am Taryn Armstrong, your host, and as always, I've brought you Lita to share in my exuberance. How you doing, Lita?
I'm good. Yeah, it's amazing that such a terrible city can yield such a great episode of American Ninja Warrior. And I'm sorry to every person listening to this who's from Ohio for the rest of this episode, because I'm going to say a lot of mean things about Ohio. But I'm very good. This is a great episode. It's my favorite time of the year. It's Wimbledon. And so I have been doing nothing but working and watching tennis for the last week, I think, week and a half. So I'm a happy camper.
Oh, my. I mean, you're saying bad things about Cleveland, but apparently it's the hottest sports town in America.
This was the most offensive thing I've ever heard in my entire life. The hottest sports. OK, listen, they have a good basketball team. They have no hockey team. They have a racist baseball team and a terrible football team. Like, they have like one good team. Maybe the Indians are good this year. I don't know. But
when Matt and Akbar tell me something, I believe them. So.
I am from the hottest sports town in the country, and it is about 2 hours east of
you
Cleveland.
You sound very biased. Matt and Akbar are not from Cleveland. What incentive do they have to pump it up?
That's an absurd thing to say. I can think of five cities that are better sports towns than Cleveland. Oh, my God.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
I was outraged by this assessment of Cleveland. They're both so fired up too. I'm like, why are you so happy to be in Cleveland?
Because it's the hottest sports town in America.
No, oh my God. They don't have a hockey team.
They don't need one. They're
and
so
people
hot.
Are like, oh, Lita, Pittsburgh doesn't have a basketball team. Whatever. We have an arena football team.
Yes. It's been a busy week for me as well. Lots of Big Brother updates every morning. Big Brother podcasts, roundtables. Working on the Ninja Warrior stuff. We released the James McGrath and Alyssa Beard interview about Team Ninja Warrior. Very timely, I think, with this episode. Got a great package here.
Yeah, we always do that on purpose, where we put off Team Ninja Warrior coverage for like a month, just so that we can time it perfectly.
It was intentional.
Yes.
And very intentional. Don't worry about it. And it timed out perfectly. So I'm very proud of myself, to be honest. And I've also been working on a new project of mine. I've got a new podcast in the works, hopefully to be released next week. I'll be doing some interviews, so keep on the lookout for that.
Yeah, Taryn saw that I got another podcast, and he was like, now we have the same amount, so he had to go and beg for another one. It was so obnoxious.
I am very much concerned with making sure I've always one-upped Lita at every turn.
Yeah.
I am the golden boy Joe in that regard, if you watched Candy Crush.
I watched 15 minutes of it.
Did you watch the part where Kelly says, I'll use the money to put a down payment on a house, and then Joe immediately right after says, yeah, I think like youth charities I'll probably donate it to.
I didn't, but I listened to your podcast about it.
Yes, excellent podcast. Even if you don't watch Big Brother and didn't watch Candy Crush, watch the first 20 minutes of the Sunday recap podcast with Matt Hoffman.
Actually do. I'm biased because Matt Hoffman is my favorite podcast guest of all time, but I only listened to the Candy Crush part of that podcast so far, and like, worth it. And I didn't really watch the episode.
It was excellent. I get to be on those podcasts and I just like revel in the glory. It's amazing. Yes. Of Matt Hoffman. He's a great guy. But anyway, we are here to talk about American Ninja Warrior, and we have a great episode to talk about, so let's get into it. They start off last year on American Ninja Warrior. This is like a previously on. I've never seen this before. It was like, last year on American Ninja Warrior, there were four women, and they competed and qualified in the Philadelphia qualifying round.
And we have to highlight that that happened, because guess what? It's not going to happen again. I mean, I guess five women qualify, because that's the new rule. But
theoretically.
Like, yeah.
The Fantastic Four. Yeah, you know, it happens.
Yeah, they just want a flashback to when you were there and watched it all happen.
Yeah, they really the Philadelphia qualifiers, legendary round of competition. We heard Philadelphia, probably the hardest qualifying course of all time. And it also produced the Fantastic Four. I was there to see, history being made. So,
yeah, Philadelphia, also not the hottest sports town in America, and another city I don't like.
Ooh, great donuts, though.
Yeah, I'm sure.
This is a really stacked episode, though. Lots of great athletes here. It really, I don't want to crap on the Kansas City. I don't want to crap on the Kansas City athletes, but man, this is just like there's filled to the brim with all stars here.
Yeah, they definitely just like had to have one just like nothing city so that they could have like really exciting episodes rather than having every episode just be like good. I feel like they invested in having like a couple dud episodes so that they could have a couple like amazing episodes, which I think was a good choice. Like, I'm gonna watch it either way. I'd rather be like really thrilled for a couple of the episodes than just be like, this is fine for all of them.
They chose to they'd rather have high highs and low lows than just mids all the way through.
Team low lows.
I guess so. So the course this time starts off with the floating steps, as always. Then we move on to the rolling log, where you got to hold on to that spinning log. Always a fun one. And then a new obstacle, the Razor's Edge, where they have to run across three very narrow boards. I guess the edge of the top edge of the board, and it will fall to the side if you stay on it for too long. So you got to run right across those. And then you get to the ring jump, where you have to take a ring and go up a series of pegs and then back down a series of pegs, difficult one. And then the I-beam gap, which is a new version of the I-beam. This is something that we've seen in stage 3 before, which you don't always get in a qualifying course, but a difficult one to be sure. You have to shimmy your way across the underside of a board where there's very little room for your fingers, and then you have to make a transition where you go from being upside down horizontally to standing up vertically, and that's the most difficult part of the obstacle. Then you have to make a jump across to another board that is vertical and hold on, and then do another transition back horizontally and make your way onto the landing platform. Then we go finally to the warped wall, and you finish the Cleveland qualifying course. I almost said Denver again. What's wrong with me?
I don't know. You're really looking forward to next week.
Honestly, in my head, Cleveland and Denver are like the same.
That's ridiculous.
Not the actual places, but the names. They just seem like very similar names to me. I think because they have V's in them.
They both have V's in the middle, and one ends with a D and one starts with a D. So I get it.
Yeah. Not a lot of places have V's in them. So.
Except for Vancouver and Victoria, and it's okay. We won't name.
Well,
them all.
Yeah, those are the other few places that have V's in
those
them.
Those are the only four places. Those four. Okay.
None other exists.
Okay.
Venice doesn't exist. It can't start with a V. That doesn't work either. It has to be a place with a V inside of the name.
Okay. Well, now I'm just going to spend the rest of this podcast like focusing on things that have a V in the middle of the name. Like while you talk, I'm just going to be scribbling notes.
We don't always do hashtags for this podcast, but I think our hashtag for this podcast will be any city you can come up with that has a V inside of it, but not at either end of it. It's not Cleveland and it's not Denver.
I think that might be a hard hashtag to search because we won't know what we're looking for.
It's okay. They're not for searching. They're for
tweeting
fun
at
and
us.
For okay. Understanding that people made it through the first 5 minutes of our podcast.
Yeah, this is fun. We're like giving homework for word games, and we do know that I'm better at word games than you, so this is a good challenge
that
for
is
me.
Fake news. I am pretty sure that I won the majority of those things.
We did have someone ask us to, we've been really neglecting our listeners' questions, I feel like, but someone a couple weeks ago asked us if we had any plane stories from Vegas, and I think the only one is that I'm way better at a word game that we were playing on the back of our seats on the airplane than Taryn.
Absolutely not true.
You were better at Sudoku. I give you that.
I won all of the games except for the word one, and I still won at least like 36-40% of them.
Yeah, that's fine. No, you won some of them. I didn't like trounce you. I'm just saying that I am better at it because we played like probably like 20 games of that, and I think I won the majority.
Yeah, because it was the only game that she could beat me at, so it was the only one that we could continue to play.
We also had a question from Will Seaman, my frenemy? I don't know. How
I think that's an appropriate term for Will.
Yeah. He asked us to rank the fan-made obstacles. We didn't have one this episode, so I was going to do it like when we got all of them, but I feel like that might just be a sometimes thing.
Hmm. Well, obviously, Crank It Up is number one.
Okay,
because,
but ranked last in the names. And we are sorry, Kevin, who actually did come up with that name, and I feel really bad.
Well, we are 100% biased, and we completely give in to that term that I forget at the moment, that where you hire family members.
Nepotism.
Nepotism. We are totally into nepotism. So Kevin's obstacle is number one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I forget the rest, to be honest.
So. Yeah, so good ranking.
Yes.
Done. I think there are two other ones. There's the one that was designed by the 7-year-old, and then there was the one that was designed by the guy who then did the obstacle.
Oh, the wing nuts. Yes.
Yeah, the wing nuts are pretty good.
Pretty good, yeah.
That's number two because we remember them. And then the other two or one or however many it were are the third and fourth.
I agree. Good job. This is just like Big Brother ranking podcasts.
Yeah, we should equally release, professional, I would
we
say.
We should release that separately. Because it could have worked as a separate podcast. We're so good at it.
Yeah, true.
So there we go.
Wait, I have one other question for you.
Oh, another question. Lovely.
Yes. Someone on the James and Alyssa interview commented saying, fine, I'll watch Sasuke. Where can I find it? So Taryn, now is your chance. Where can people watch Sasuke if they're in the US?
Okay. This is actually a good question because it is kind of difficult to find.
Yeah, it is.
If you go to SasukeManiac.com, they have some forums there. This is a little out of the way. You got to ask one of the moderators or admins, message them and say, hey, can you help me out? I want to watch Sasuke. They will. They have everything you need. They will direct you to a lovely place with lots of things to watch.
Ask you a riddle first, though. So just like be prepared.
Yeah, you do have to prove that you are a true fan.
Mm-hmm.
And if you say Taryn sent you, they will have no idea what you're talking about. But you can say it anyway if you want.
It'll make him feel powerful.
It will. They'll be like, who is this Taryn person?
why are all two of these people yes. coming here?
Why has he been mentioned by two people? one of which is named Taryn, apparently. How did that happen?
Yeah.
All right, let's get into this episode. We start off with Michael Nowoslawski.
Sure. It's probably one of those.
Okay.
I would say Nowoslawski.
I feel like that's reasonably close to what I said first.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a 21-year-old super fan. He built a course in his, not in his backyard. It looked like the woods, to be honest.
That could be his backyard.
Yeah, theoretically. But I think once you reach woods, it's not really your backyard anymore.
Some people live in
the woods.
A yard
has to be a yard. Woods is not yard.
Whoa.
That's all I'm
saying. Okay. Strong position.
This is not a hot take here. This is just facts.
But people use backyard like colloquially. Like I could say that, you know, a small town in Pennsylvania is like in my backyard, basically.
Yeah, but I hate people that do that.
Oh, okay. That was so aggressive.
It's not your backyard. It's a whole town.
It's an expression.
No. It's like, oh, my old stomping grounds. How many things did you stomp at?
My God. Why do
None.
You not like expressions?
You didn't stomp on anything, did you? No.
The next time you use any sort of idiom, I'm going to call you on it.
Good. I'll learn and be a better person.
There's nothing wrong with idioms.
So Michael was he was on the news, the local news. He was interviewed and they presented him with a golden ticket, which is the first time I've ever seen a golden ticket for American Ninja Warrior. I have no idea where this came from.
Yeah, it's not a real thing. It's just like we're on the news and we have to give him something physical and we can't give him a plane ticket to Cleveland because he already lives here. So like an envelope full of gas money or something.
They should have been like, actually, we've brought someone in. It's Drew Dreschel who has something to tell you. And then Drew's like, hey, dude, you're going to compete in the qualifying round.
That was a really good Drew Dreschel impression.
Right? Yeah. Super good.
I'm sure people thought that he was in the room with us.
I'm sorry for getting your hopes up. No, we have not secured an interview with Drew Dreschel yet. And so he gets a golden ticket. He says that it feels like he's going to Willy Wonka's chocolate factory because that's what a golden ticket is for. So it's not surprising that he would have thought that.
Yeah, except he said Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, which is not the title. It's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Didn't he say Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory?
No, he said Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory
because
it was something that stuck out to me.
Are you the person that points out the Frankenstein misconception every time, too?
I don't have as much of a personal relationship with Frankenstein as I do with Willy Wonka. I was in the musical when I was in eighth grade, so...
Frankenstein kind of was the deal. Monster, not the doctor.
I know what you're talking about. I just don't care about that, but I care
about
Willy Wonka.
I just said it backwards and you didn't correct me.
Because I don't care. I made that clear. I don't care about British literature.
Well, Michael is very dizzy after the rolling log. We're going to see this a lot. And ultimately goes down on the ring jump. He gets pretty far, but he goes for an early dismount and doesn't make it to the platform. This is probably a symptom of going early in the night. Doesn't realize this is not something that people can do.
Yeah, I guess so. I can never tell like how early they're actually going versus like how early they're just showing us. But I'm sure that he didn't get a lot of chance to watch it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, and certainly after a certain point, people started going backwards on the ring jump on the way up, which seemed like a much better strategy. And you didn't really see anybody not doing that after that point. So I do think they, for the most part, and this is true for my experience in Philadelphia, that they do stick to the actual run order for the most part. They don't vary too wildly, although they do use footage of me cheering on people that I wasn't cheering on. So there's that. next up was Shannon Paglieri, the 47-year-old physical therapist who battled neurological issues and trains with Michelle Warnke.
And she's from Westerville, Ohio, hometown of my high school boyfriend. But the guy that I dated in high school, not like a boyfriend that I have who's in high school.
You have a different high school boyfriend. No.
But I was just like, oh, Westerville, I've been there.
Yeah, very close to the hottest sports town in America, probably.
It's closer to it's a suburb of Columbus, not Cleveland.
Oh, well, still.
Columbus is very much not the hottest sports town in America. That we could all agree on.
Well, Shannon goes down at the rolling log, and that's it for Shannon. Cheered on by Michelle, but doesn't get too far.
Yeah, someone says that she's shantastic, Madar Akbar.
Hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. She had some kind of nerve injury or
yes,
something?
Yes, neurological issues, she said.
Yeah, I was confused about like what this was. It was like very vague, but I appreciate her journey.
It was another one of those physical therapists that had to do like her own physical therapy. She wasn't her own physical therapist, but she needed physical therapy after being a physical therapist.
It's so inspiring. Ladies, you can be your own physical therapist. Be your own doctor. Be your own dentist. You can do anything.
Yeah, you never know. Next we get a montage starting with Melody Schofield, who took a wild ride on Rolling Log but got caught in between the razor's edge, and then finally it goes down. She actually managed to hold on in between the second and third razor's edges, and then made a jump for the landing platform but doesn't make it.
R.I.P.
Yes. Then we had Rex Alba, who honored his Filipino heritage by wearing his this Filipino outfit, and but then got his outfit wet on the ring jump.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yes.
I mean, it's nice to see broader diversity represented.
There you go.
Even in a montage.
Next up was Mark Ribeiro, the fitness instructor who they call him the concrete Tarzan.
That's so much better than like the blank ninja or whatever. Like I'm about nicknames. I just think that they should have like different structures, so it's not always the something ninja. So something like the concrete Tarzan like really works for me.
What a hot take to say that right after the podcast with James McGrath when he said that.
No, but okay, this is something that we've always found annoying though. Like, I'm agreeing with James. I'm not saying that this is my, like, original, unique perspective. But my perspective is that I like nicknames. I just don't think that... I just think that they should mix up the formula. That's all.
I do think we have enough Tarzans, though. Between,
we
like...
We have one other one.
Ben Milik, the actual Tarzan. Nick... what's his name? Nicholas Coolidge, the modern Tarzan.
Oh, is that what he goes by?
Yeah, now we have the concrete Tarzan. I feel like we have enough Tarzans.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. Never mind. Nicknames are dumb.
He was also wearing jean cutoffs.
Were they short shorts?
Because
that's already been taken too.
But they were jean short shorts, so.
Okay. Well, I do not like when people wear jeans.
Yes. Mark, he can't make the transition on the I-beam gap, and he goes down. We're going to see a lot of people fail there. Very athletic, this guy, though. So impressive run, nonetheless.
Yeah.
Next up was Anika Niashala.
Anika.
Anika Niashala. I'm probably pronouncing her last name wrong, too. The 22-year-old nursing student. They call her one of the country's top rock climbers. Because okay. We've got a lot of those.
Yeah, but she came in third at like the national climbing competition or whatever. So that's like one of the top. I feel like that counts.
Yeah, there are many one of the tops.
Yeah, but they climbing. Specified like what that means this time.
Yeah, this was a horrifying story. She noticed she had a bump in her arm that was just there. And then when she was 18, she was like, you know what? I want to get this surgically removed for cosmetic reasons. And then they were like, yeah, that's a tumor, actually. And it's like, you could die and we might need to take your arm.
Yeah, but they didn't take her arm. It's a happy ending.
Yes. Instead, she has a cool scar that hopefully the cosmetic reasons proved fruitful.
Yeah.
Certainly a scar is better than a bump.
True. Here's my take on Anika. I love her and she's lovely and I love her.
Oh, you're going to say something bad, aren't you?
No, that's it. I just have written so many times, like, oh my God, she's great. I love her. She's adorable. She's so cute. I love her.
You always hate the ones that I like, but you like this one.
No, I don't always hate the ones you like. I just have different favorites.
Yeah, I liked her a lot. I thought she was cool. What I really liked, she was like, I'm glad that I kept my arm because I like my arms. They do cool stuff.
Yeah. And just like talking about, she just had like this charisma where like she was talking about when she woke up and her mom was like, they took more than I thought they would. And she like looked down to check if her arm was still there. Just like, oh my God. But like her storytelling ability, like she is just, oh, she's lovely.
Yes. And this is when, you know, Akbar, he makes a comment. He says, the female athletes, they all love this new rule for the females where they all, where there's a top five. And I was like,
do they? They all love it.
Do they all? I mean, I know we talked to Alyssa. Alyssa said at first she felt kind of offended, but then she kind of grew to be like, okay, this is kind of cool.
Is that the sort of loving it?
Right. It's hard to imagine that all of them love it.
Yeah.
Equally for sure. But you know, you do what you can. He's marketing. She really flips around that rolling log, and then barely grabs onto the landing platform after the razor's edge. She manages to pull herself up. She almost hits the pipe that the things spin on, which would have disqualified her, but she does manage to stay on and pull herself up. But unfortunately, she cannot get over the high peg on the backside of the ring jump, and she goes down there. However, she does do just well enough to be the fifth woman qualifier in the city, so she will be moving on to the finals. I'm very happy about that.
Yes, the fantastic fifth.
Yes, I don't have a whole lot of hopes for her. Like, this is a really stacked field, both for the men and the women. This was a really tough field for the women. So, it's hard to imagine her beating Michelle, Jesse, Alyssa. Like, I mean, I'm happy we're going to get to see her again, but maybe she should have showed up in one of these other cities.
In Kansas City, yeah.
Yeah. So that was it for Anika. Next was Michelle Warnke herself, the 32-year-old gym owner. She comes up in a jacket. I was like, hey, good look. I like it. Should have done the run in a jacket.
Okay. It looked really cold in Cleveland.
It did look very cold. The polar opposite of Vegas.
Yes, polar. I get it.
Yeah. No, but seriously, it was a cool jacket. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
They mentioned that her dad is going to be running later, which is very interesting because who would have thought, you know?
Yeah.
See, you see her dad on the sidelines so often. I've seen him in person. He's like just a very energetic, like friendly dude. I never imagined that he was going to be running the course.
Yeah, you didn't realize you were in the presence of a true ninja when we saw him.
He is truly a ninja because his ninja-ness was hidden.
Yeah. Oh, true.
Yes. You didn't see my face there, but I was very proud when she caught on. Akbar says when she's on the rolling log, come on, this is the Buckeye State. Hold on, hold your horse.
Yeah, what the heck does that have to do with it being the Buckeye State?
It's a horse.
Buckeye is a nut. It's not a horse.
Does Buckeye have nothing to do with horses?
No, Brutus the Buckeye is the mascot for Ohio State, and he's a literal Buckeye, which is a kind of nut, or like I don't know what you would call it. It comes from
you
a tree.
You might feed horses Buckeye.
Oh my God! Do they actually eat Buckeyes?
Well, there's at the very least there is a company named Buckeye that feeds horses.
Did you not like? Well, I don't know. We like collected Buckeyes when I was a kid, like on the playground, but that might be regional.
They're
never really
knew.
Pretty. They come in like really like spiky outsides, but then when you open them up, they're like really shiny.
I thought Buckeye was like a pirate thing, to be honest. So I really have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, well, it's not a horse. It's some sort of thing that comes from a tree.
Well, she did hold her horse.
Okay.
So she did make it through the rolling log and then almost makes it through the ring swing, but then falls at the very end. Unfortunate. She didn't use the backwards technique. And she mentions in the exit interview that she should have gone backwards.
Yeah.
And then after that point, we see pretty much everyone go backwards. So you have to imagine, you know, Michelle unfortunately had to go very early and then afterwards was like, hey, guys, yeah. Go backwards. Much easier.
Yes.
So there's Michelle. Next up was PJ Walsh, the 45-year-old comedian and arch enemy of mine, because he's apparently one of Matt's best friends in the world.
Yeah. So he's my favorite person.
He had a whole package about how he's been taken out by the logs every time. The first time he went out on the log runner, then he went out on the log grip. He just can't get past these logs.
This is so dumb. Like, hey,
are you trash talking Matt's one of Matt's best friends in the world?
They know each other from the comedy scene, but this guy did not seem that funny to me. I don't know.
Wow. Strike a man where his heart is.
I thought you were like on board with this. I thought we were gonna gang up on this guy because we don't like him.
Listen, I'm playing the long game. I'm acting I'm the supportive friend that's supporting his other
friends. Yeah.
But it is getting out there that, no, this guy is not funny. But I'm protecting his honor.
Okay. Yeah, got it.
Yeah,
I'm sure he's very funny. Whatever.
I've learned from my Big Brother podcasting. I know how to do this.
Okay. I don't know what that means.
He does make it past the log, the rolling log. So many logs. And Matt goes, no more log nightmares for my boy PJ. Come on.
Yeah.
He's very excited.
And then he immediately goes out on Razor's Edge.
Yes. He says he finally gets past the log obstacle only to get cut down by Razor's Edge. And, we're going to hear cut down by the Razor's Edge multiple times throughout this episode.
I think the reason I was annoyed by this, and like the package was fine, it was short, like it didn't actually bother me. I was just annoyed because it seemed like one of those things where it's like, he's not running to hit the buzzer, he's running to make it past this log obstacle. And that's annoying, especially when it's not even like they have like a tragic story or anything. This is like just some guy who
it's
like
Matt's
is friends with Matt. Yeah, and like, you know, this guy like definitely got in like through his connections with Matt.
Well, as somebody that got to a taping through my connections with Matt, I don't think there's anything wrong with using your
connections.
We
are
advocators of nepotism, so there's nothing wrong with this. It's nice to hear Matt actually like get super invested in a run. You can hear it in his voice. It's fun.
There were plenty of other runs that Matt was very invested in.
All right. Next we get a montage of the people the I-beam has taken out, all in that first transition to go from horizontal to vertical. We got Naeem Mulkey, Kevin Wang, and Derek Matthews who go out there. Next we have another montage starting with Katie Tennant, who is the gym teacher that is dismissed early at Floating Steps. Then Philip Hucky, the ninja beard guy.
That was
he
cool.
Had, yeah, the ninja on his beard. No, it was not cool.
It was very cool. It was easily the coolest facial hair we saw tonight. All tea, all shade at the mustache guy.
I can agree with that. The ninja beard guy was cut down by Razor's Edge. When was the last time we heard that?
Why wouldn't it just be like shaved or something? It's a razor and a beard. Like, I feel like there are the pieces there to do something better.
Matt, you're getting a little rusty here.
Yeah.
You're using the same lines over and over. Next was the Natty Ninja, James Wilson, who flew across Razor's Edge by jumping over that whole third Razor, but then goes down at the ring jump.
Natty Ninja is super lame. It's just because he's from Cincinnati. It's like not even a story.
I mean, that's most of them, to be honest. Next up, we get Alyssa Beard.
Yay.
We just talked to her.
We Isn't know cool? her.
Yeah, we're like best friends now.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah,
we best get friends brunch. With a lot of people.
It's fine.
She's the 26-year-old first grade teacher, and we get the package about the fact that she's dating James McGrath. And if you are a listener to our podcast, you knew this already, because we bring you the hot goss.
We broke the news.
Yeah,
it's fine. We were the first to know. We saw them kiss in Vegas, and we were like, ooh, drama, gossip.
A whole package about the fact that they're dating. James says, you know, this was too good to stay in Vegas.
Yeah.
Because they met in Vegas.
Yeah. Oh, my God. This was so sweet. I was like, at first I was like, ugh, like, she's an accomplished athlete in her own right. We're going to get a whole package about her and her boyfriend. But then I was just looking at them and just like covering my face with like the dumbest smile. Like, they were just so cute. I can't.
My favorite part was when she said the best times they have are when they spend time together at night on the couch, clearly referring to the night that they recorded their podcast with us.
Yes.
Where they were on the couch at night, spending time together with us.
It's true.
So, yeah. she says she wants to go to Vegas with James. So hopefully they both make it is the idea. And very impressive run here by Alyssa. Very, very happy about this.
Yeah, I was crying. So I was just like, oh my God, she did it. And like, I know her and she's so nice. Like, I was just so happy for her. She's so cute.
Yes. Matt says she didn't even budge on the rolling log. And Akbar also comments, I would not want to wrestle her.
I didn't catch that. That's so funny.
You know, I wouldn't either, I guess. I mean,
he's not wrong. It's just such a weird thing to say.
Akbar also says she's a first grade teacher. She's got to figure out the angles here. She's got to make sure Razor's Edge does not cut Miss Beard.
First graders are not learning about angles.
Certainly they are.
You are not learning trig in first grade.
Or you don't need to learn trig. Angles. Learning angles is not learning trigonometry.
Isn't that like Sokotoa? Isn't that like all the angle stuff?
You can learn about like, oh, this is a 90 degree angle. We call this a right angle.
That does not happen in first grade. Don't think it does. I really don't think it comes that early. You're still learning like addition in first grade.
That's not true.
You absolutely are. I remember doing subtraction in second grade, like multiple digit subtraction, because it was traumatic because I'm really bad at math.
Yeah, okay.
Well, you never even learned your different types of columns, so I can't trust your education.
Okay, I'll take the loss on this one, because I was actually super smart in first grade, and I learned lots of advanced math things.
I was in advanced math one time in third grade, and then they were like, oh, we made a mistake.
Okay, so... we'll have to ask Alyssa the next time we talk to her. Do you teach
angles? She teaches angles, yeah.
Or is it only for the super advanced smart people like Taryn?
Oh my God. I feel like you're just getting your childhood mixed up, and it was probably in like third grade that you were learning angles.
Let's see. So she... Alyssa is the first one to go backwards on the ring jump. Just like I was the first one to be in advanced first grade.
Stop. You're not a fun person to talk to. You brag about your achievements.
Yeah, my first grade achievements.
Oh my God.
She makes it through the ring jump. And then she sees Akbar, who then sees her back.
It's true.
Impressive. Nobody, I don't think, in the history of American Ninja Warrior has seen Akbar before he's seen them.
So are you saying she made history?
She did. She made history.
Herstory.
Which is good, because Jesse kind of stole her history later on.
Okay, yeah, we'll get
we'll
to that.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah, and Akbar throws her a snack, which is really nice.
Yes. First, she's on the I-beam gap. She makes the jump to the other side and misses the grab, barely holds on, And James and I both are having a heart attack because I can see it in his face. And it's the exact same expression I had in mind, which like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
It looked like she was about to fall. But she does make it. And then on the way down, Akbar's like, find it. Find it. Ooh, ooh, ooh. She's on her fingers. On her cuticles. Look, she's on her cuticles. Matt, she deserves an apple. Give this woman an apple.
And then they just had an apple.
He did. He had the prop. I mean, that's impressive stuff. The fact that they thought, okay, you know, it's there's a lot of competitors, and they decided, you know what, only a few of them deserve props, and Alyssa is one of those people. In case she does well, we're gonna have an apple, we're gonna throw it to her, it's gonna be great.
Yeah, it's also just like an easy thing to have, I think.
And also, Akbar is weirdly obsessed with the teacher thing. We've established this.
Yeah, I have commented on this before.
So he tosses her an apple. Hey, Miss Beard, I've got an apple for you.
Yeah, and then she eats it, but doesn't look super, like, excited about how it tastes.
She was, like, amused, and then she bit into it, and I think she's like, I don't know, like, when you bite into an apple, you have to be a little careful, right? Like, you don't want to bite off too much. Uh-huh. You don't want to, like, cut your teeth on the sharpness of the apple.
Sounds like you don't have very strong teeth if this is a really common problem for you.
I meant gums. It can hurt your gums if you get that sharp stuff.
Oh my God.
Apples are dangerous.
Okay. I just feel like it probably wasn't a very good apple. It was probably really cold. Like, that probably would hurt your teeth.
Yeah. The first buzzer for a woman this season, they say. We even get Flex Lebrecht crying in the crowd.
Yeah. Jesse's crying. I'm crying. Everyone's crying.
Yes. And James says he's proud of her, but he expected her to do it. So, you know, not too surprised.
No.
They said, hey, guys, we've never had have two women hit a buzzer in one night.
Yeah.
So that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because they've also never said we've never had two women press a buzzer on the same night. So,
yeah, that would be weird.
As soon as they say it. Yeah.
That would be weird if they kept that in there. They're like, and we still never will.
And next up, we have James McGrath, the 30-year-old ninja coach, who we also talked to. And he kind of, like, I guess the package of the two of them kind of doubled because he didn't get a package
yet.
Yeah,
for sure.
And we come to his run a little late. They said he just watched Alyssa beast through the course.
Yeah. And they have each other's, they have each other's t-shirts. So cute.
It's very cute. they've also never had a couple hit buzzers, both hit buzzers, on the same night before.
Because, now we're going to have two.
Casey and Brent never managed it, I guess.
No, they did not.
Yeah, so it's that what they should have said was, we've never had two couples both hit buzzers. And then they could have given all the credit to Jesse.
I was about
boyfriend.
To say, let Alyssa have one thing.
Yeah. He's hit a buzzer every year for 6 years. He's not going to break that streak yet. He doesn't even need to jump the I-beam gap. He just reaches his leg out.
Are you going to do the sock barism?
And steps over. This is my favorite one of like the entire season so far and maybe ever. Whoa, you yoga man! You yoga man in your yoga pants! Didn't even need to jump. He just stepped across.
Oh, I wish we had interviewed James after this episode aired so we could just introduce him as, we have this yoga man in his yoga pants.
You just yoga man in your yoga pants? It seemed a little derogatory, like, you in your yoga pants. Oh, you.
They also aren't yoga pants, just to be clear.
Well, it happens.
Yeah. He's just happened to be doing something flexible while wearing pants, which makes them which makes him a yoga man in yoga pants.
There you go. So James and Alyssa are the first two finishers. Very, very fitting. Something they didn't mention, James is still injured from that injury from last season that he talked about on our podcast. He was injured during Team Ninja. You saw him, you know, hurt his shoulder again agitate it, I guess. That injury is still affecting him during this qualifying course, but still manages to be the fastest time of the night for quite a while and still ends the night at the fifth fastest time. James the Beast McGrath, he's unstoppable.
Yeah, he's the beast.
Yeah. Next up, Lucio Batista, the 26-year-old personal chef. And I imagine your favorite athlete of the night.
I think we need to clarify my position on facial hair a little bit. I think that this requires some specificity at this point. not in on this mustache. I'm really not.
Yeah. We had to see like the entire process that mm-hmm. it takes to like get this mustache to where it is. And like, I've never had to look at a mustache in such detail for so long in my entire life. And it kind of grossed me out.
Yeah. I think that a lot of times a mustache is better than no facial hair at all, but a beard is better than a mustache, you know, both of them together. That's the best. But when the mustache is just like so decorative and like almost like an inconvenience, like if you're in a crowd or you're like walking through like a narrow space, like, I don't know, it takes him as long to do his mustache probably as it takes to do my hair, but my hair isn't gonna like wilt, you know, like you have to like continually keep that up. I don't know. This is just,
how many people have been hit in the face by this man's mustache as he walks by them?
Yeah, it's probably, people think that there's like a bug on them or something when like he walks by and they don't see it because it just like brushes your face or something. I hope he's really tall so that like people like my height don't get hit with his mustache. I don't remember how tall he is. But I don't know. I liked the whole like look of the, you know, whatever, like going with the cape or whatever. It's like, oh, he looks like a supervillain, but he was like, I want to be a hero. Like, no, just do the Snidely Whiplash thing. Wear a black hat.
Yeah. I mean, despite the mustache, seems like judging by his friends, seems like a cool guy.
Yeah. Right? He's just like casually training partners with Drew Dreschel.
Yeah. So if you're training partners with Drew Dreschel, you have to be a cool guy. That's the rule.
Yeah. That's what I've heard.
Yeah. Akbar is very concerned. He says, I don't know if his mustache is going to survive this. He better have a lot of wax on that when he goes on the rolling log.
Also, his girlfriend's name is Flora Xavier. And I really just feel like they should be a supervillain duo together. That's an amazing name.
Isn't Xavier a hero?
I don't know. Is that from something?
Isn't that Professor X's name?
Maybe. That's X-Men.
Yeah.
Is that one. Okay. Just letting you know, I know what you're talking about.
Well, I'm probably wrong, so.
No, that sounds right. I never really.
It does sound
read
right.
That or saw any of that. Is that DC? Yeah, it is.
Also, it shouldn't be understated here. He's a top mustache grower. I placed that label on him because he's placed in mustache competitions. So that means he's a top mustache grower.
Did he actually talk about being in mustache competitions?
No, they mentioned it while he was on the course.
Wait, that's like a real thing, though?
That he like placed like second in a mustache competition.
Is there prize money given for those?
I'm not the person to ask.
Because this is just another way to enforce the wage gap. That men can make money off of growing facial hair. And not
finally figured it out. We know the cause of all of it. We just need to get rid of mustache competition.
This seems unfair. Not that women can't grow facial hair. It's just a disproportionate attribute. And I feel like men should not be allowed to have money for that.
Well.
Now everybody's going to be like, oh, like, what about like wet t-shirt contests or whatever? No. No. This is stupider than that.
Men can do wet t-shirt competitions.
Yes, they can. See, you're a true ally.
Yes, all men. he goes backwards on the ring jump, but eventually runs out of gas and goes down there. So next we get another montage, starting with Amy Patchik. She's the vet with the silly hat. And she ends up losing her hat and then losing her strength on the ring jump.
I think they called it a spiffy hat, which is better than a silly hat. Okay, fine.
I like Amy. I like her hats. Yeah. Then we had Alexei Matusik, the surgeon, and Akbar says he ain't no scrub. He's a doctor.
That's a good one, I think, because he was wearing scrubs.
But I don't think he was a doctor. They said he was still in med school.
Oh, well, maybe he's okay. Well, you got me there.
Although maybe he is, you know, I think Matt then says the cardiothoracic surgeon put on a clinic, but went down on the I-beam gap. So if he's a surgeon already, maybe he's one of those doctors that's just still in med school.
Is that a thing?
I think so.
That concerns me.
Like, John Carter on ER, he was still theoretically in med school when he started his ER rotation, right?
Are you asking me about ER? I've seen Scrubs.
Well, I, granted, I was about to chastise you for not seeing ER, but Scrubs is also very good. So, all right.
My dad's a doctor, and I have never heard of this.
Well, I have extensive experience with doctoring because I watched all of ER.
Isn't ER a soap opera?
It is a soap opera. It's a drama. Okay. Here's the thing about ER. First, like, 4 to 6 seasons are amazing, and then it gets absolutely ridiculous once they start killing people with helicopters and chopping their arms off.
Yes.
And then it gets really terrible in the, 10th and so season on.
That's the last too many season, seasons kind of, for a drama.
They kind of bring it back to earth. They finish off pretty strong. I'm not going to spoil anything, but good ending. Everybody watch ER.
It's not Great a soap job. Opera. I'm thinking of General Hospital.
Yes, that is a soap opera.
Because once you said 10 seasons, I was like, no soap opera only has 10 seasons. who was on ER? Was that the one with where they called the doctors McSteamy and McDreamy?
No, that's the other one, Grey's Anatomy, right?
I don't know. I've never seen any of them.
Much ER started like in the early 90s. It was a huge, huge hit. It was this huge show. It got nominated tons of times. It kickstarted George Clooney's career.
Nominated for what? Emmys?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
It won a bunch. It was like best drama.
Yeah, it is Grey's Anatomy, right?
Yeah. Grey's Anatomy is like a poor... ER started this whole thing. Like, Grey's Anatomy would not exist without ER. That's all I'm saying. Okay. Which, wouldn't be necessarily the worst thing in the world.
I've heard Grey's Anatomy is great.
Well, ER is even better.
I'm just never going to watch any of them.
You're welcome for the ER lecture in the middle of our American Ninja Warrior podcast. I love that show. So okay. Someday I'll do an ER podcast.
I will not join you.
So next up we have Najee. It's Najee Richardson, the 26-year-old gymnast. He's been training with all the top ninjas, Chris, Drew, all of the best ones.
Yeah. He also has a ninja gym in New Jersey, really close to Philadelphia, that I'm going to try to go to in a few weeks when I'm in Philadelphia. But we'll see.
If you don't get Najee to come on the podcast, everybody should shame her.
Well, I don't know that he'll be there, but it's like his gym.
If you're going to go all the way there, you should make sure that he's also there.
No, I mean, it's like New Jersey is very close to Philadelphia. Like, it's not going to be super far out of my way. I'm going to have a free day in Philadelphia anyway. I mean, I'm going super far out of my way to talk to Najee Richardson for the purpose of this podcast because I'm extremely professional. That's what I meant to say.
Well, Najee's great. He got a testimonial package. Big time.
Yeah. He got who? James, Drew, Jamie Ron. Yeah.
Yeah. It's some good stuff. And I mean, he was very impressive. I believe we talked about him last year saying, watch out for this guy. And he's done essentially exactly what we want to see him do. He's got the raw talent. He proved that last year. And now he's been training with the top athletes specifically for American Ninja Warrior. Look out for Najee with that testimonial package. Akbar even comments, he said, this kid's been training like Rocky Balboa.
Yeah, because Philadelphia.
Yeah. Also, infamous training scene.
Okay.
Not infamous, just famous.
But also, it's because of Philadelphia, I think.
Akbar says he barely even moved the razor's edge. I mean, it didn't even move.
Yeah, that was impressive.
Yeah. But also two separate things, barely moving and not moving.
Maybe he was correcting himself. Like, oh, it barely moved. I mean, it didn't move.
So that's what it sounded like.
Yeah.
He flies off the ring jump. And man, I commented here, so likable on the course. He's like smiling. He's like, oh, thank God. Like he has so much charisma. You're not even saying anything.
Yeah. I love him. I agree.
So Najee finishes the course here. Great job by Najee. Looking forward to what he's going to be doing in the city finals. And next we get a montage. First was Rachel Goldstein, who runs out of gas on the ring jump.
Sad.
Then Tori Clement.
We're just going to gloss over that. Rachel Goldstein is in the Fantastic Four. This is sad.
Well, yeah. But what else were we going to say about it?
That I'm bummed for her.
I was gonna pause, but you got the sad in time for me to start the next one. So I was like, oh, it's fine. Okay. I mean, it is sad. I mean, it's unfortunate. But this was a tough field.
Yeah.
Then we had Tori Clement, who is friends with Flex, who also goes out on the ring jump. And then this is when I commented, like, man, this is a competitive field for the women.
Yeah, and they do a weird thing where they're like, with her time, she has a chance of staying in the top five, but then she, like, doesn't, I don't think.
No, not even close.
So why did they even bother keeping that in?
I don't know.
Like, that was so weird.
Yeah, happens. All right.
Do we have to?
Next was Sarah Poulin, the 32-year-old accountant. And I was, man, like, before the package even started, I was like, no, I'm not prepared for this.
Yeah.
Then I wrote Christ. I apologize for anyone that I offend with that, but I was very emotional at the time. Yeah, very, very sad story. She had a son named Jacob who was a big fan of American Ninja Warrior. She found out that he had a tumor in his brain, I believe, and just never really caught a break after that. Unfortunately, passed away, I believe, in October of 2016. So not too far from this actual taping. I believe only 5 years old. Incredibly tragic. I was bawling my eyes out.
Yeah, this was so rough. I watched this episode this morning, and I was about to go record So You Think You Can Dance, like, a half hour after I was watching this, and I just had to stop because I was like, I can't be on a podcast, like, just, I, like you said, just sobbing. Like, this was ridiculous, and I just, like, couldn't, like, keep my composure at all. Oh, my God. And then the second I tuned into it, like, later in the afternoon, it was, like, restarted exactly where I left off crying. Oh, my God.
Yeah, like, I'm trying not to cry right as we speak. It's, like,
so sad.
It's, yeah, very, very cute kid, very, very sad situation. She started training very recently. She said she's only been training for a few months. She did this on short notice, and ultimately goes down at the rolling log. You can see that she's incredibly disappointed. Unfortunate that this didn't have a happier ending. Honestly, kind of annoyed that they tried to make it out to be like, well, but it's still amazing.
Yeah.
Like, she was really disappointed. She wasn't, like, proud that she got, she was like, she wanted to go further, and let's, like, I don't know.
Yeah. And it seemed like she had the skills. Like, we saw in the video of her training, like, she was doing difficult obstacles.
Yeah. I hope we get her back. Hopefully she does better next time. Also, you know, this is something that happened a lot in previous seasons. You know, Christine is very, honestly, a lot better than most of the sideline reporters in terms of, like, not making me angry at her interviews. But this one did annoy me a lot.
What happened?
Just, like prodding the situation.
Yeah.
Like, clearly going for a moment where she's, like, crying her eyes out in the middle of the interview. And, like, not letting it go when she clearly doesn't want to be speaking anymore. Like... Just, you know, I mean, I get it. You know, I feel like the package was enough. We don't need to do, like, we don't have to keep trying to do this afterward.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was Sarah. Hopefully she comes back. But hopefully with a less sad package. next we had Mike Bernardo, another kind of sad one.
Yeah.
The 37-year-old firefighter. He gets a backslap from his dad this time.
Yeah, that was adorable.
Yes, very adorable. His dad got cancer recently. He had to help him through the chemo. Very touching story. We have not seen the side of Mike Bernardo ever. He's always been, like, the goofy guy with the caution tape on his head.
Yeah, and I mean, on top of that, like, I didn't know that he was adopted out of foster care. Like, this is just a real window into Mike Bernardo that the show hasn't really afforded him before.
Yeah, it's very, he's becoming three-dimensional. It's great.
Yeah. After all this time, I mean, he deserves it.
Yeah. It is really nice because he, you know, he is a super fan of the, like, he is, like, a true, like, vet and, like, true fan of the show and of Sasuke. And it's great to see that, that rewarded and, spotlighted.
Yeah. So what is the status of his dad?
I believe he's, I think he got through it. I think he went through chemo. He had a surgery. As far as I'm aware, it's not something that's still an issue.
Yeah,
but
they didn't really give, like,
they weren't very specific,
current update. Yeah, but he seemed to be you know, up and moving, cheering him on.
Yeah. So he does very well. Akbar, when he's on the I-beam gap, Akbar's like, fly like you do in a burning building.
Oh, because he's a fireman.
Yeah. But okay. I wasn't aware that firemen flew.
Oh, yeah, they can. They can fly. You didn't know that?
Learn something every day.
Yeah. They're just not allowed to on the course. Wouldn't be fair.
Yeah, I guess that's a fair rule.
Yeah.
So Mike Bernardo clears the course. Then we get a montage. First is the giant, John Alexis Jr. This is a disappointing montage. between montaging the giant and Jamie Ron here. People who are very fun to watch on the course.
And they both hit the buzzer.
The giant did not. John unfortunately fails on the I-beam gap transition. He couldn't get, I mean, it's a huge body to make that transition. Yeah. He was on pace for the fastest time of the night, and I believe he is the top qualifier who did not finish the course.
Yeah.
Apart from the guy that failed at the warp wall. Then we get Jamie Ron, who does clear the course, and does it very, very cleanly, it looks like, because of course it's Jamie Ron. And then, Ryan Blaney, the, NASCAR driver, one of the NASCAR drivers who goes down at Razor's Edge.
I'm not mad that they montaged him.
Yeah. Then we get Ricky Stenhouse Jr., the 29-year-old NASCAR driver. He's a recent winner of NASCAR things.
I also have, he won a thing recently in my notes. I don't know what it was that he won, but he did it. And I also was like, oh, like, he must be really famous because I've actually heard of him. And then they were like, he competed last year. And I was like, oh, okay. That's how I know who he is.
Also, like, I always thought it was a stereotype, but like, his name is like Ricky something Jr. Like, is that really just like, do they choose their names? Is it like a family thing, the NASCAR stuff?
I mean, I feel like it's not a sport that like you can just like casually jump into, right? Because you need like all this equipment. So I feel like it's kind of a dynasty sport where like someone has to raise you to do it. So like Dale Earnhardt Jr. and this guy, I don't know.
Isn't they really like the juniors and the Rickies and the Bobbies?
That might be like the junior thing. Maybe is that a Southern thing?
I don't know. Probably.
I don't know anybody who is, but John Alexis Jr. This is a thing.
Yeah, that's true.
I just don't know anyone who like has the same name as their father.
It doesn't seem as NASCAR-y with John Alexis though.
Yeah.
As Ricky Stenhouse Jr.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. He's hoping to beat the rolling log this year, and he almost falls off, but does make it through. Then goes down quickly on the ring jump, but has finally made it further than any other driver they've had. And I'm not in for this whole driver competition.
No, I don't care about this. At least he dates Danica Patrick, so he's like a real person.
But she wasn't even there this time.
Yeah, that's true. She's way more attractive than he is too.
I mean, I guess like if she was there, they probably would have done another interview with her. Didn't they do one last time?
Yeah, they did. So Christine was like, when are you gonna get on the course? And she was like, no.
Yeah, she was like, well, wasn't she like maybe?
But she was like, ah, maybe. Like, she
she gets asked, like, when are you going to do it? Oh, maybe someday. And then she didn't come back the next time. She was like, I'm staying far. I'm not going anywhere near there.
Like, she has an actual career. She's like a real celebrity.
Well, so is Ricky Stenhouse Jr., who is a recent winner of NASCAR things.
Yeah, but we don't know what these things are.
NASCAR people do.
It wasn't the Indy 500, the underground racing competition that happens every year.
I'm still adjusting to that news. I like this whole idea that they're both like not Indy.
Yeah. Well, speaking of us misunderstanding things, I do want to address us being so confused about how they really love their cheese in Kansas City. And it turned out they said Chiefs. Which everyone was like, oh, like, I expected Taryn to not know that. But, like, I just wasn't thinking about it. Like, in the next sentence, I was like, oh, the Kansas City Wolf is, like, I know about, like, their general sports landscape. I just was not thinking about it. And it really sounded like they said cheese.
It did.
This is like when I thought that they were saying Conan O'Brien when they said Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, that was funny.
You didn't correct me.
At least I was very confused. Next was Matthew Guardo, the 54-year-old Pocono ninja. He likes collecting things.
His house looked like the house of a serial killer.
Did it? I feel like a serial killer would just have like a nice, clean, white house.
Maybe, but don't. I think that serial killers sometimes collect things. They might be like human teeth, but
like faces.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is weird. My dad is like a really big collector, and like I grew up with a house full of crap. And so like I feel like this just gave me like flashbacks to like Pez dispensers and Converse and stuff like that.
Should we start doing a podcast on hoarders?
Maybe. He wasn't a hoarder. Like, collecting is different than hoarding. You need to understand. It's like very meticulous.
Okay.
Like, he goes to like conventions to seek out specific Pez dispensers, like to buy them. Yeah.
Well, he does like collecting things, but he does lose one of his shoes on the rolling log. And I came up with that one. Matt didn't catch it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That was well done. I thought that was a real terrible Mattism.
Akbar says when he's on the ring jump, Matt, we've got to check his birth certificate.
Why? Oh, because
he doesn't
old.
Believe that he's 54.
Oh my god, I thought it was something racist.
What?
But checking people's birth certificates, that has a connotation.
Oh man, I didn't even think about that. Akbar's a real birther.
This just like nice old man from the Poconos.
Matt, we've got to make sure he qualifies. This is American Ninja Warrior.
Go back to the mountains that you came from.
He ultimately goes down on the back half of the ring jump.
Okay,
but it was very impressive for a 54-year-old. So good job, yeah. Matthew.
Oh, he also built a bunch of obstacles. I guess that's important.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Next up, we have another montage. First was AJ Peratore, the stuntman pirate who had a flaming sword.
Yeah.
Do we think this was a real sword?
Yes. If you can bring fire, you can bring a sword. Fire is more dangerous, maybe, depending on what you do with it.
I just watched a gif of a fire eater setting his like face on fire.
Oh no. Oh my gosh.
So
it like went, but can you make gifs of that? Is that like a snuff film at that point? Is he okay?
I don't know.
It was Where did a gif? You see this gif?
On Reddit.
Why? What are you? What subreddit
is
that on?
I think it was on R Funny.
That's horrible. I do not approve of that.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, flaming swords are probably dangerous.
Yeah. Well, I don't. So this is what I'm saying is that I think that you can bring a real sword, because if you can bring fire, then which is really dangerous, then you could probably bring a sword.
Well, to be fair, they have a lot of fire at these things, regardless.
Yeah, I'll say.
They blow it in your face when you're watching stage two.
Yes, they do. Well, I mean, we didn't go through like any kind of security when we went in. Like,
it's true.
You can have a sword.
Well, yeah, actually, there was some security. If you had a bag.
The second night, one guy looked at my bag, but like, there could have been anything in there. Not a sword, because the purse was too small, but
I could have like had like a sword up my sleeve or something.
Yeah, you could
they
have
would never have known,
because you were wearing long sleeves.
Yeah,
summer,
the 120 degree weather.
Right.
Anyway, the pirate's tale did not have a happy ending. He goes down at the ring jump.
I feel like they could do better with pirate, but it's fine. What's a pirate's tale?
Okay, you need to know the pirate's tale.
What is that?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I thought it was going to be some movie, because half our conversations are like, you haven't seen this thing?
Well, you should watch Black Sails. It's a good show.
I've seen Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
1 through 3.
You haven't seen Pirates of the Caribbean apocalyptic nonsense?
No, but my brother saw it when it premiered at midnight, and he is a 25-year-old man.
Ooh.
He loves that franchise.
Well, you know, I guess it's funny.
Yeah.
Next up was Mike Myers, the engineer who has made it to stage two in the past, calls himself the Course Killer.
Oh my god, wait, I just got this. Because Mike Myers is the name of the villain from the movie.
Halloween.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, that Michael makes Myers. Sense.
Yeah, kind I like of. His name.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't get it. I was like, why? Just because like he's good at the course. But okay, no, that's fine. It's a horror movie thing.
He does ultimately fall at the I-beam gap. And he does ultimately end up qualifying. So we will be seeing more of the Course Killer in the city finals. Then we have Michael Torres, the carpenter, who dropped the hammer with one of the most impressive runs of the night that we didn't get to see.
Yeah, he hit the buzzer in jeans.
Yeah.
Good for him.
I feel like they're really, really rubbing in our faces when they're like, yeah, we're going to not show you this one and then call it the most impressive run of the night.
Yeah.
But at the very least, we did get to see Joe Moravsky, who's up next, the 28-year-old weatherman, who's a guy. Did you know that?
What?
Joe is a guy.
What? I don't know what you're talking about.
So says James McGrath.
Oh, James is just like, Joe, he's a guy?
Yeah. Don't you remember?
No.
We were talking about Joe and he's like, yeah, Joe's he's a guy, that's for sure.
Oh, I thought you meant in this episode. I thought I was like, I don't even remember him having testimonials. Yeah.
God, remember our own podcast that we recorded like
you
days
know
ago?
That I don't ever remember our own podcast.
How am I supposed to do inside jokes if you never understand
them? The listeners will understand. They are smarter than I am and have better memories.
It's true.
Sorry, I didn't learn about angles when I was six.
Oh, yeah, you weren't in the advanced first grade classes.
The way you crack up every time you talk about this makes me feel like you're lying.
I'm cracking up because it's true and it makes me uncomfortable, but it's funny. this is another sad package, actually. Joe Moravsky's uncle, Rob, has passed away recently. They had a lot of footage of him cheering Joe on from the sidelines. This is his cousin, Rob, the Adonis Moravsky's father. A big supporter of Joe and his ninja-ness. But yeah, lots of sad packages here. And this is a sad situation for Joe, but he wants to run this course and hit that buzzer for Rob. And he does it. He gets the fastest time by a minute. Nothing to really comment on here because Joe is so smooth, so good. And this is his fifth straight qualifying round finish.
Yes. And he is a guy, and I do remember what you're talking about.
Yes. Great guy. Although I guess he does need some sleep, but I don't know. I'm still torn. I got conflicting advice. I don't know what to do.
Yes, true.
I mean, these Big Brother morning updates, I haven't been able to get sleep. So I guess I'm like on by default on Joe's camp in that one, but whatever. Next up, we have another montage. We got Chris Warnke. It's a weird combination of names there that I'm not used to.
I'm so confused about why he had to wait in the walk-on line. Like,
2 weeks.
Would the show not totally? I feel like the show would totally eat this up. Like, Michelle's dad. Like, I don't know. She's like a star. Like, would, I mean, I feel like, I don't know. Would Jesse's mom have to wait in the walk-on line? You know?
No.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I feel like Michelle is like.
I feel like if Michelle's mom wanted to compete, she could.
Oh, I see that. Yeah, it's that difference. Yeah, her dad's so recognizable, though. You recognized him in Vegas.
Yeah, he is. And you know what? He is absolutely the kind of guy that would wait 2 weeks in the walk-on line.
Yeah,
and I bet he was the star of the walk-on line.
Yeah, for sure.
But he unfortunately goes down at Razor's Edge. Still, pretty impressive.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Then we get Anthony DeFranco, who gets the fastest time of the night after being the fastest in Philadelphia as well. He beat Joe twice now.
Yeah.
By 1 second. He beat Joe by 1 second. Ooh, they didn't mention that.
Yeah.
Why didn't we see the fastest time of the night who did it by 1 second? That would have been so thrilling.
Yeah, I don't know.
They would have given it away by doing like the side-by-side clock things.
I was about to say.
Yeah. Anytime they do that, they always beat that time.
Yeah, they have to do the James versus Joe side-by-side. It's the battle of the people who have been on this podcast.
Yeah, it's true.
The greatest rivalry, truly.
Joe heard the guy comment and he really needed to get back. Yeah. then we get finally Jesse Flex Lebrecht, the 27-year-old caretaker. Oh, no, sorry. I missed her boyfriend.
I'm not mad about it.
Yes. Then we had Chris DeGangi, the federal consultant. I don't really know what that means.
Means you consult for the Federation.
Like it's the Star Trek Federation?
I don't know. Is the U.S. No, the U.S. is a confederation. Well, I guess we're a country now. Were we ever a federation? Anyway, it just means that he's a consultant for the federal government, which is not a great job to have right now. It's a lot to be, a lot to consult about.
Well, he qualified 5 years ago, but hasn't been able to since, or he hasn't been back since. I don't know which it was. But he is Flex's boyfriend, and he does manage to hit the buzzer here and qualify for the city finals.
Great.
Then we get Jesse Flex Lebrecht, the 27-year-old caretaker. And man, another ninja power couple in one episode.
Yeah, this one did not stack up, though. We have already seen James and Alyssa, who are actually a power couple, not just like Jesse and some rando. Like, no offense at Chris, but like, we already saw this. And then her package. OK, first of all, they say that she's known as the fifth woman ever up the warped wall. No, she's not. No one. If I'm like watching American Ninja Warrior, people are like, who's that? I would not say, oh, that's Flex LeBrec. She's the fifth woman ever up the warped wall. I would be like, that's, you know, that's Jesse LeBrec. She's great. She like did all these things. But like, we are not. No, that doesn't count. We're not counting that high.
What about Jesse Graff, the fourth woman up the warped wall? Megan Martin, the third woman up the warped
wall.
We're
not doing this.
Michelle Wernke, the second woman up the warped wall.
We're not counting that high. I feel like second is where it stops, because second is like, OK, it's not just a fluke. Like, women can do this. You know, like, that's important. Like, it's not just Casey. But after that, we don't need to keep counting. Women can do this. Are we going to go into double digits? 13th woman? Where's Barclay? Is she like the 11th woman? I don't know. I'm sure that they have a number for it. This really bothers me. And then our whole package is about her freaking boyfriend, which we've already seen done better this episode. And Jesse has so many merits outside of her boyfriend.
Like, just wait until the city finals when Alyssa Beard is introduced as the sixth woman to make it up the warp wall.
Yeah, like, but they count Team Ninja Warrior.
No, they said in competition.
Oh, okay. But like,
That's why she's only the fifth.
Oh, okay. I thought that, like, I don't know, but they do, like, in Team Ninja Warrior say, like,
yeah. They do it in Team Ninja Warrior way too much.
Yeah, it's just too much. So, like, yeah, and I don't know. Like, this isn't James McGrath. This is just some random guy who, like, competed 5 years ago. And I, you know, I am so sorry, Chris, if you're a big fan of this podcast. I just feel like Jesse should be able to have her own package that is about her and herself. And that's what I want.
To be fair, they were pretty cute.
I don't know. It was fine.
I feel like you are biased against them because you didn't like the package. But I think as a couple, definitely a cute couple.
Oh, for sure. Like, I'm happy that she is happy. And I did want to pause the TV to see if it was actually a checkmate when they were playing chess. But my roommate was watching with me and I didn't want to like reveal to her that I'm just like the weirdest person. But it probably was. There was only like one piece on the board and she had like a lot of her pieces. But I'm all for playing board games and video games and climbing and being competitive with your partner. It was all cute, whatever.
And they also moved in together.
Yeah, they did. Great.
Yeah.
I'm very happy for them. I just want Jessie to have her own identity in her own right.
Yeah, hey, you never know. Maybe Jessie wanted to do a package with her boyfriend.
Yeah, that's very possible.
Yeah. So she says she hasn't hit a buzzer yet. She really wants to. So hopefully she will. And Akbar says on the ring jump, she just flexed on this obstacle.
It's too easy, Akbar.
Yeah. I mean, man, when she reaches across in the middle of those rings, we talk about Barclay's got some guns. Jesse Flex LeBrec, she's got some guns.
She has some serious back striations, as Akbar always points out.
She then does manage to finish the course. And we get lots of, man, first time two women have completed a qualifying course. Jesse LeBrec makes history
as
being the second person tonight to finish a qualifying course.
Yeah, no, that is a team effort. They equally made history together, Jesse and Alyssa.
They made such a huge thing about the Fantastic Four. And then they didn't talk about the two people who did it. They were like, Jesse.
Yeah. I guess they can't be like the, I don't know, the dynamic duo, whatever. Like, yeah. Alyssa really got shortchanged, but she had a way better package, so whatever.
It's true. So this is the Palm Wonderful Crazy Healthy Run of the Night, of course. I mean, this was very exciting. Very great run. I don't want to let, Lita's negativity take us down from the wonder of Jesse LeBrec.
It's only because I love her so much and believes that she deserves her own agency as like an individual athlete outside of her partnership. But you are right. It's very possible that she wanted to do this. It's fine. And I don't know. I really love her.
Yes,
I like when it focused on her and Emmeline. But
she's great. Hopefully we see some great things in the city finals. I'm looking forward to it. So there we are. That's our episode. Great episode.
Yes.
I gotta say. Yeah.
Yes. What a night. And Michelle still qualifies.
Yes, she does. Jesse and Alyssa are the top two. Then we have Tori Clement, Michelle Wernke, and Anika Nieshala.
Anika.
What? I said Anika and you said no, it's Anika.
No.
Didn't I? Yeah.
No, I think it was the opposite. Okay.
I like literally.
Oh, no. It's Anika.
Anika.
Yeah.
Oh, Anika. Okay. You corrected me with my incorrect pronunciation.
Well, I just assumed that you were going to say it wrong again. It was just a reflex, but I have the pronunciation written down.
Look, Anika, I'm sorry. Don't hold this against me.
I just assumed you were going to be wrong, as I always am. But anyway, yes, 2 out of 14 finishers are women. That's amazing.
Yes. They made it in the top. This is like the top tier. Only less than half of the athletes managed to finish the course, and two of them were in fact women. So very impressive, very packed field here. Anytime Joe Morawski's there, you know, there's a packed field because he packs it all by himself.
okay.
But yeah, I really, really enjoyed this episode. I actually had to pause it in the middle of the episode to go get a haircut. And I was like disappointed. I was like, no, I don't want to stop.
Your hair looks the same.
It doesn't.
Okay. I mean, I can see now that you're pointing it out, but like, all right.
I mean, it probably looks the same since the last time you saw me in person, because no, actually you saw me in Vegas. So that was actually pretty recent.
Okay.
It's the same as it was in Toronto.
All right. Wow. You get your hair cut a lot.
Yeah. A lot. It grows a lot. You know, it's very hard to maintain my hair.
I can't imagine.
Yeah. That's my obstacle.
That's what your package would be about?
Yeah.
On American Ninja Warrior?
My hair, it's just so thick and it grows so fast.
Oh my God. Whatever.
Yeah. All right. So that great episode, great podcast. We've got... See, now I wanted to say Cleveland instead of Denver.
We have Denver next week.
Denver next week with the Wolfpack.
Yes.
They'll be competing. Very exciting. Always exciting when Wolfpack is part of the episode. So that'll be a lot of fun. And you can find us on Twitter. I'm at Armstrong Taryn. Lita is at Lita Tweeted. She also has Instagram.
At Lita Grammed.
At Lita Grammed.
Megan Martin follows me on Instagram. You all should too.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah. So ringing endorsement. She liked one of my photos. It was amazing.
Man, if Megan Martin is giving you validation, do you even need any more?
Yeah, that's true. Don't follow me on Instagram. I'm telling everyone to unfollow me except her.
Yes. Make sure you check out our Big Brother coverage. We've been doing daily updates as well as episode recaps. And we also have the roundtable every Monday night. We also have the But First, a Big Brother 2 blockumentary that you can purchase. It's an audiobook all about Big Brother 2. If you are interested in checking Big Brother out and you want to start from the beginning, that would be a great place to start because, watch the season, buy the audiobook, listen to the audiobook. We talk about it. We talk about the reactions at the time. Lots of great stuff. Very fun. I've gotten a lot of great feedback on that. That's been so much fun to do. And then again, keep an eye out for my new project in the works. It should be coming out next week. I'm very, very excited about it. And I'm very proud of the first interview that I have in the books. So I'm excited for you guys to hear that. If you're interested at all, make sure you keep an eye out for that. I will let you know as soon as I can give out more information on that. And also make sure you check out Lita's other podcast, the one she cheats on me with, the So You Think You Can Dance podcast. What are you up to there?
Yeah. So we had our last round of auditions last night. So You Think You Can Dance, American Ninja Warrior, very similar schedules going into the next round of competition almost at the same time. Great episode. I recorded with Angela Bloom because Kelly is at Fringe Fest. And she's so fun. She has so much dance knowledge. We both grew up in the dance world. So had some fun conversation about that and about the show. And how could you not love Angela? So check that out. It should be dropping very soon.
Okay. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes. You can find us the American Ninja Warrior Rahapups. That's R-H-A-P ups. All one word. The Rahapups, not American Ninja Warrior. You can also find us on the Reality TV Rahapups feed, where you can also find the So You Think You Can Dance podcast, all the Big Brother stuff, and my new project as well. My new podcast will be on that feed. So if you want to make sure you don't miss out on that, you can also make sure you catch that there. But also make sure you subscribe to the individual feed because that's very helpful.
Now everyone's going to speculate about what show you're rehapping up. Is it on the rehap up speed?
I'm not rehapping up a show. I'm just interviewing people.
Yeah, but now everybody's going to be like, Terrence finally on that wife swap podcast.
I'm rehapping up people's lives.
Ooh, yeah. Amazing.
So, yes, this has been fun. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I certainly have. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. We will see you next time.